You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief of BuffaloRumblings.com and the host of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A on the Buffalo Rumblings Podcast Network. I wanted to remind you that you can always send in your questions for next week's episode at 716-508-0405. Voicemails always get priority on our show. You can text that number as well. Again, it's 716-508-0405. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A. That's with the word and spelled out in the middle. Email is BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. All one word, Buffalo Rumblings. We've got some great questions for this week's episode. I put out an all call earlier this week for roster questions. I'm going to do my first 53-man roster projection in the second half of this episode. So I asked if anyone had questions regarding that Bills 53-man roster construction. So we've got those to kick off the show here. Let's dive right into it with Carl Weathers at Thunder Carl. Can any undrafted free agents crack the 53-man roster? I do think there are one or two undrafted free agents that can crack the roster. It's interesting because Bills general manager Brandon Bean said after the draft that when they were approaching guys to sign them as undrafted free agents, it makes it a lot more difficult because of the strength of the roster that Buffalo has constructed. When undrafted free agents have a choice of what team they can go to, you know, they're probably not going to go to the Bills for most positions because they don't think that there's a path to the roster. Here are a couple guys I'm looking at. Jalen Weidermeyer, and I might be saying that wrong because I don't know how to say it, but the tight end from, I think it's Texas A&M. I think tight end is a position, especially when you look long-term, that the Buffalo Bills don't have anybody signed past 2022. So Dawson Knox, O.J. Howard, and Tommy Sweeney are all on one-year deals. Quinton Morris is signed for a couple of years, but was on the practice squad last year. Not really a long-term answer right now. So maybe Jalen Weidermeyer can sneak onto the back end of the roster as a continuity piece going forward. They had him in as for a top 30 visit before the draft, so they like him, obviously. The Bills have used those top 30 visits to really get to know players that they really like in the draft process, so we already know that they like him. And so I just think that he's the name that sticks out on the list of undrafted free agents as a guy that the Bills could really be interested in keeping beyond just training camp. The other position group I'll say that I'm looking at is the offensive line, where they have several undrafted free agents in Will Ulmer, Tanner Owen, Dirk Cursiter, and Alec Anderson. All of those guys have, you know, options to make this roster. I don't necessarily think that tackle is the best place for them, but an interior offensive lineman with Ike Butker coming back from his Achilles injury, Roger Saffold on a one-year deal. I just think that they have, you know, it's not like Greg Mance or Cody Ford is going to be able to, like, really keep anybody off the roster. So if you are one of those guys that can cross-train into, you know, the guard spot or even the center spot, like Ryan Bates did when he was a rookie, I think you can become incredibly valuable for the team. And I think those are guys that could play their way onto the roster with some of that cross-training ability, with some of that, you know, being able to play multiple positions on the offensive line as, you know, your final offensive line depth piece. So I think those are the two places that I would look If I'm looking for, to find an undrafted free agent that can make the 53-man roster. So that's a good question. Thanks for it. Over on Twitter, at RumlingsQ&A. Ryan Turnbull on Twitter. Do you see any surprise cuts? Well, I'm looking at my roster now, and it, I guess it depends on your definition of surprise cuts. When I look through some of the places where I think the Bills could shed some veterans, I go back to that tight end piece that I just talked about with the undrafted free agent, Jalen Weidermeyer. If he's on the team, that means Tommy Sweeney's not, and I don't know if you would consider that a surprise cut. He was one of the, you know, only two tight ends on the Bills roster last year. So a lot of people think that he's going to make the roster this year. If you do think the Bills are going to keep three tight ends as opposed to two tight ends like they did for a lot of the season last year, then maybe Reggie Gilliam, the fullback, is where they find that roster spot. So instead of having a fullback and two tight ends, they have three tight ends. So is Reggie Gilliam a surprise cut for you? He would be for me, but I'm looking at the snap counts from last year, and he just played a ton of special team snaps too. So that's why it would be a surprise for me. But I don't think if, you know, you're an outside observer on a national level, you would look at the Bills cutting Reggie Gilliam as a surprise, or even Tommy Sweeney as a surprise. Another name that I think about is, you know, wide receiver and punt returner, kick returner are Marquez Stevenson. You know, if the Bills want to keep extra tight ends and extra wide receivers, is Marquez Stevenson going to make this roster? You know, it probably is going to come down to him and Jake Kumerow at that wide receiver spot. And Kumerow plays so many special team snaps and can be a weapon in the passing game. Whereas Stevenson, if he's not the returner, what's his role going to be on this team? If Isaiah McKenzie's the primary returner, what's Marquez Stevenson's role on this team going to be? So I see him as another potential roster cut. But even any of those guys, I wouldn't consider surprise cuts. Same thing with a guy like Tyler Matakevich. If they go with a different group of six cheaper linebackers than Tyler Matakevich, you know, would it be surprise for him to get cut? No. But, you know, he's a guy that's a veteran. They love him on this team. They love him in the locker room. They love him on special teams. So, like, maybe that would be a surprise for some people. Cody Ford was specifically asked about by Twitter follower Carl Weathers as a potential surprise cut in a different question he posed to me. Even if he's cut, I don't think that would be a surprise cut. I do think he makes the final roster. Here's another guy, though, on the offensive line that I would think about as a surprise cut, Ike Bucker. If he starts the season on the PUP list, if he starts training camp on the PUP list and then starts the season on the PUP list, I think he's got a good shot of making the roster, you know, in general in 2022. That might not mean the 53-man roster right off the bat because he'd be on the PUP list. But if he comes to camp and tries to compete for one of those 53-man roster spots, I don't know if he's going to be fully healthy enough to do that. And so maybe they cut him, and he started a bunch of games for the Bills over the last few years. So that might be a surprise cut for a lot of people. But if he's not healthy, or if he's, you know, 80%, because he's working his way back from that Achilles injury, you know, he's going to have a hard time making the team. Bucker started 10 games for them last year, 7 games the year before. So, I mean, it's not the most surprising surprise cut I can suggest, but I think among all of the, what, 6 players that I mentioned, I think he's the name that would catch most people off guard. So, you know, Bucker, Cody Ford, Tommy Sweeney, Reggie Gilliam, Marquez Stevenson, and Tyler Matakevich are my list of, you know, mild surprise cuts. Guys that have been on the roster for years in some cases, played significant snaps in other cases. I just think those guys are, you know, on the roster bubble. So thanks for your questions over on Twitter at RumlingsQ&A. When we come back, I'll share my initial 53-man roster projection now that the Bills have announced all their undrafted free agent signings and we've come through free agency and the 2022 NFL draft. Don't go anywhere.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It was always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, there's a whole article coming over at buffalorumblings.com. If you want to read this, you can go through line by line and make sure in the comment section you share how wrong I am, how stupid I am about this 53-man roster projection, which is way too early. Because of how early it is, I'm not really going to belabor the point. I'm just going to go through line by line, position by position, and explain to you, kind of my thought process really quickly. At quarterback, the Bills have traditionally only kept two quarterbacks on their roster. That's going to be Josh Allen and Case Keenum. Matt Barkley goes probably to the practice squad. At running back, it's five: James Cook, Tywan Jones, Zach Moss, Devin Singletary, and Reggie Gilliam. Duke Johnson is gone, replaced by James Cook in the draft. Raheem Blackshear, the undrafted free agent, goes probably to the practice squad. At wide receiver, the Bills kept seven last year. I have them keeping six this year with a change coming at the tight end position that we'll get to here in a second. But Jamison Crowder, Gabe Davis, Stephon Diggs, Jake Kumerow, Isaiah McKenzie, and Khalil Shakir, which means I'm cutting Isaiah Hodgins and Marquez Stevenson. I think both of those guys, in fact, all four of the wide receivers I cut, including Neil Pauu and Malik Williams, the undrafted free agents, I think all four of those guys have a really good chance to make the practice squad. At tight end, instead of going with two like they had last year, I have them going with three tight ends: O.J. Howard, Dawson Knox, and Jalen Weidermeyer, the undrafted free agent out of Texas A&M. He beats out Tommy Sweeney in my projection for the 53-man roster. It's just a feeling. It's not really anything that I can, like, tie a bow on right now, but that's just kind of where I'm leaning. At offensive tackle, the Bills keep four: Spencer Brown, Deion Dawkins, Tommy Doyle, and David Questenberry, mainly because Questenberry can provide so much more on the inside. He can play guard, he can play tackle. He's that multiple spot guy that they like to have in reserve. So that's why I'm keeping him. On the interior of the offensive line, Ryan Bates, Cody Ford makes the roster. Roger Saffold, Greg Mance, again, he's got the center guard up. He can be your backup center and keep Ryan Bates at guard. And then Mitch Morris, who's your starting center. So that means Jacob Capra, Ike Butker, and then the two undrafted free agents, Derek Kerseter and Tanner Owen, are cut. Butker, I don't think he's going to be cut. I think he's going to start training camp on the PUP list. And then, they can keep him on that PUP list for several weeks into the regular season to allow him to get healthy enough to contribute to the team in case they do have an injury along the offensive line like they've had over the last few years. So I think Butker's just on the outside looking in for health reasons, not necessarily for play reasons. I don't think he's going to get back to his self, if he ever does, until partway through the season. And so it just makes sense for him to start off of the initial 53-man roster, but on that pup list. So still in the building, just not necessarily on that 53-man roster. As far as numbers go for the offense, the only switch I made was adding a tight end and taking off a wide receiver. Moving to the defense, we have big changes coming on the defensive line. I only kept 9 defensive linemen, whereas the Bills kept 11 defensive linemen last year. So that's a big shift. At defensive tackle, I've got Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle, just going straight chalk there. Eli Ankou could have been signed at any point last season. He even probably thought about testing free agency before signing a reserve future deal with the Bills, so I think they can keep him on the practice squad, just like Braden Bryant, and kind of keep them around or keep players of their caliber around to call up at some point. At defensive end, Boogie Basham, AJ Epenesa, Shaq Lawson, Von Miller, Greg Rousseau. You know, Shaq Lawson's probably your game day inactive on that, but instead of keeping 11 defensive linemen like I did last year, trying to, you know, fill holes and all this other stuff, I think with Von Miller there at defensive end, with Greg Rousseau in his second year, with Boogie Basham in his second year, AJ Epenesa in his third year, and then your backstop of Shaq Lawson, I don't think you necessarily need to keep that sixth extra defensive end because you know what you're getting out of those young players. And at defensive tackle, I don't think you need to keep a fifth defensive tackle just because you invested so heavily in those three free agents, Jones, Phillips, and Settle. So 9 defensive linemen, which means I've got 2 roster spots to work with in comparison to last year's initial 53-man roster. At linebacker, I keep it at 6. Terrell Bernard, Terrell Dodson, Tremaine Edmonds, Tyler Matakevich, Matt Milano, and Andre Smith make the roster. If you want to cut one, I would assume that it's going to be Andre Smith and not Tyler Matakevich, just because Smith didn't play any defensive snaps last year, where Matakevich did. And so I think if, you know, push comes to shove, I think Matakevich could play on defense before Smith would. And so that's why I would keep him, because he's also more valuable on special teams, even though he costs more money. At cornerback, here's where I'm going to use one of those extra spots from last year's initial 53-man roster. With Trey White coming back from injury, I don't want to put him on the pup list. I don't want, at least not to start the season, because that keeps him out for the first 6 weeks of the year. If he's trending in that direction, hey, all power to you. Keep him out for those first 6 weeks. Then it's the bye in week 7. He comes back in week 8 fully healthy and plays for the rest of the year. But if they want him to have a chance to come in and play a little bit before that week 7 bye, they're going to need him on the 53-man roster. They could also do the short-term IR thing with him and put him on that initial 53-man roster, then put him on IR, but you're not really supposed to do that with injuries from the year before. So if he's not on that pup list, I don't know how they're going to be able to swing that. So Christian Benford, Kair Elam, Dane Jackson, Taron Johnson, Saran Neal, Tre'Davious White all make my initial 53-man roster. Then I go to safety. It's this exact same list as last year. Damar Hamlin, Micah Hyde, Jaquan Johnson, Jordan Poyer, with Josh Thomas being cut and going to the practice squad. For specialists, Matt Araiza beats out Matt Hawk, and we go with Matt Araiza, Tyler Bass, and Reed Ferguson. Now, if you look back at last year's initial 53-man roster, Reed Ferguson wasn't on it. They cut Reed Ferguson in order to get Marquez Stevenson to injured reserve to start the year. And so I had to account for that extra specialist. So I did that, remember, by cutting 2 people from my defensive line. So instead of starting the season with 11 defensive linemen, I started it with 9, added a cornerback, and added long snapper back into my initial 53-man roster projection. So there you have it. Go over to BuffaloRumblings.com. Make sure you go complain about my 53-man roster projection in the comments. Of course, injuries, potential free agent signings, lots of things can adjust that over the course of the next several weeks, several months, as we get closer towards the 2022 Buffalo Bills season. But that's my initial 53-man roster projection following free agency, the NFL draft, and undrafted undrafted free agency. Please send in your questions specifically about this if you want for next week's episode at 716-508-0405. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A. You can email us BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. Also, Facebook and Instagram messages to the official Buffalo Rumblings account will eventually make their way over to me. Thanks for listening, and go Bills.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Wix Studio. Designers and devs, you might be able to do your thing better on Wix Studio, a web platform with everything you need to deliver bespoke sites hyper-efficiently. Design teams get a ton of smart features that can take the grind out of web creation without it costing per-pixel control. Dev teams, you get a zero-setup, developer-first environment, combined with an AI code assistant and your preferred IDE for rapid deployment. Search Wix Studio today to explore the full range of features.